Good morning, everybody. We're here to talk about kashrus and medicines. And what I'm going to, let me just introduce you by saying that there's people take very different approaches to how to talk about or discuss this topic. There are very extreme positions. And people will tell you, do you know how treif your medicine can be unless you have everything that can be paid with your medicine? And therefore, you can't use anything unless that's hashgacha on it. And then there's the opposite extreme, what people will say is, well, you know, people take these medicines and they're cholim, and the medicines are not edible, and therefore you could take everything. And then, of course, each side has its weakness to their argument. And we're going to try to be, if I can describe it as a rationalistic way of looking at it, we're going to go through a couple of steps to try to come to some understanding as to what medicines are or not permitted to take. And I'm going to split up what I'm speaking about into two parts. First, I'm going to talk in a way theoretical. I'm going to talk about actual medicines, but in a way theoretical. And then, after we finish that first part and we understand some of the basic principles we need to understand, then I'm going to give you something out so as we could walk through how you decide whether you should or shouldn't take a specific medicine. Okay? So, in deciding whether a person can take a specific medicine, there are four questions that you need to be able to answer. Okay, the four questions are, firstly, does the medicine contain anything that's kosher sensitive? Okay, an ingredient in there that might be sensitive. There are plenty of medicines that have absolutely nothing in there that's sensitive. What?
Sorry.
Yeah, but I need my notes.
Okay.
I need both of them. You led it. So there are some that have nothing. Okay, now in that sense, we're going to talk about some examples of that in a second. In that sense, for better or for worse, the people who could probably best answer that question are people who work in kashrus, who are familiar with ingredients. A lot of these things are food ingredients, and they could try to help you understand whether a silicon dioxide kashrus, is it possibly treif or is it not treif? Okay, so try to help you understand those things. Okay, the second question is, can you replace this medicine, this thing that you want to take, with something that is kosher? Or that has no shilos to it. Okay, the same medicine that I want to take, can I replace it with something else? The third question is, how edible is the thing that I have in front of me that I want to take? And fourthly is, how sick is the person who's taking this medicine? Okay, so we have four questions, and we're going to go through those four questions. After we go through each one of those, we're going to come to a second half of what we're talking about, which will be actually going through it to work it through in more detail.
Okay. Those questions in order?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to follow.
So the level of chayla is not shiloh?
Right. In the way that my mind works, this is the way that it works out to come to a simple answer. You'll see the second half of it, you'll see how that plays out in figuring it out. Let me give you a simple example. If the person was deathly ill, and he said, oh, he's a terrible chayla, he could do anything. That's not true, because if there's a substitute that's kosher, he doesn't have any right to take treif if the same thing is available in kosher. So the first question to ask is not, is he a chayla? I'm not saying you couldn't approach this from a different angle. This is just the way I'm setting it up. Okay. The first question was, are the ingredients what we call kosher sensitive? Are they possibly treif? Okay. And I'm going to tell you that we're talking about over-the-counter medicines, okay, and even a little bit in prescription medicines, but in those medicines, I'm going to say to you, this is not fully accurate, but we're going to say there are 11 ingredients that are most sensitive, that are pretty common, not to exclude others, and of those 11, I'm going to break it down into two groups. Okay, there are 8 that are a smaller issue, and the 3 that we're going to spend more time on. Okay, if you're curious, I'll mention to you these 8 ingredients. I actually thought of printing, of giving my second set of notes, printing it out to you, but I forgot to make enough copies of that. I have copies of something else. And they are aspartame, which is a sweetener in a lot of liquid medicines, citrates, which is citric acid, sodium citrate, potassium citrate, anything with citric in it, ethyl alcohol or ethanol, gum arabic, which has another name, acacia gum, which is a thickener used in a lot of liquid medicines, lactose, which is very common in medicines as a filler, polysorbates, the whole group, there are differences, 20 to polysorbate, 20, 60, or 80, stearates, which are like stearic acid or magnesium stearate, which is commonly as a coating on a pill, something called stearates, and lastly, xanthan gum, which is also a thickener, which is also common in liquid medicines, to give them more body fat. Okay, those are 8, which see where they fit in, but the three more serious ones that we're going to talk about as we go along are flavors. Okay, almost everything that's liquid or chewable has a flavor in it. Gelatin, which is common in gel caps or gelatin pills, and glycerin. Okay? Now, of all these 11 things that I've mentioned to you, the one I want to talk about now is glycerin, which by far, I mean, not like even in close, by far is the most serious shiloh of all these ones that I mentioned to you. Okay? Of all the ones that I mentioned to you, it's the most serious of the shilohs. Why is that? What is glycerin? So, for those of us who forgot our high school chemistry, glycerin is like this. What did you say? Well, we didn't take high school chemistry. Okay. Glycerin is like, as this follows. Every fat or oil, fats and oils are really the same item. Every fat and oil is made up of two parts. Okay. And the part's like this. Okay. This, what you're looking at over here, which looks like a letter E, okay, that's glycerin. Okay. Every fat and oil has glycerin in it, and it's exactly identical. The fat, the oil, whether if it's in olive oil, animal fat, and anything in between. Okay? And then, attached to these ends of what looks like the letter E, are three what's called fatty acids. Okay, three things coming off the letter E. Depending on what fatty acid it is, will depend on what oil it is and what the properties are. The taste and what temperature it melts at and what it looks like, all those properties are decided by what the three fatty acids are. So the difference between olive oil and chicken schmaltz is which fatty acids they have. The glycerin is exactly the same. Every one of them has a glycerin, and it has a bunch of different fatty acids. Okay, what the fatty acids are for us is not important. Okay, but what is important is the fatty acids are considered very valuable in industry. They use all over the place. So what companies do is they take oil or fat and they split it. Okay, it's under very high temperatures, like 600-700 degrees, under huge amounts of pressure. They split this in half. The glycerin goes one way, and the fatty acids go the other way. And the fatty acids have all kinds of uses in industry. Okay, they have all kinds of things that they do with them. And then the glycerin is sort of the garbage, sort of the leftovers. But that glycerin is then used in all kinds of things. In particular, it's a sweet, thick liquid which holds moisture in. That's some of the properties that it has. And it's very common in liquid medicines. Okay? Now this glycerin can come from the glycerin coming from animal fat, the glycerin coming from vegetable oil, exactly the same. Okay, there's no difference between them. Not only that, is that even glycerin that comes from vegetable oil is very often processed on the same equipment as the one coming from animal fat. It's run in the same kind of factories at huge high temperatures in equipment that never gets cleaned. Okay, it doesn't ever get cleaned. It sits there and it runs all day long, some days making animal fat and some days making vegetable oil. So glycerin is easily, from all the ones that I mentioned, could be absolute animal fat, could be absolute novella, or it could be have this bleas on the veil, but I'm talking about like very serious bleas, like right running on the same equipment without cleaning it in between, of novella, or I guess it could be chazer also. Novella is the most common. Yes.
So glycerin
coming from animal fat is absolute pure trash. Okay, it's pure, it's like going into McDonald's and eating hamburger. It's almost, it's not exactly as big, but it's almost as big. Okay, and it's used
its function is what?
Its function in the medicine is to give sweetness and to keep it moist and to give it a certain thickness to it also. Okay, and it's not used in small amounts. When it's used in medicine, it'll be 20-30% of the medicine. Okay, it's not anything that could, by any stretch of the imagination, be bottled. It's not pogov. It's not anything. It's like eating real animal fat. Okay, now, to help make you feel better about it, is that kosher glycerin cost much more than trade glycerin. There's such a demand for kosher glycerin. First of all, because people who want kosher, and they're making other food, they want kosher glycerin, or because there are people who don't want animals because they're afraid of mad cow disease, they're vegetarians, they have other reasons, companies have other reasons why they want to promote using vegetable glycerin. So animal glycerin is really cheap, which is to say that if you're looking for glycerin, and your consumers don't really care about what glycerin they get, you can buy the trace glycerin. Okay, so it's not only is the market like 50-50 or so, you know, it goes up and down as to whether it's kosher or trace, but if you don't ask for kosher, good chances you're going to get trace, because Why would anybody pay extra for the kosher when his consumers don't even care about it? What would be the point of it, right? So it's really common to have trade of glycerin if you didn't ask for it. If you don't ask for kosher glycerin. And even if you ask, sometimes you get the in-between. You don't get the kosher or the trade if you get the vegetable glycerin made on animal equipment, which satisfies lots of people. Lots of people feel comfortable, you know, they're not going to get me a cow disease, and they're not going to, you know, they're vegan, they're okay, but they don't realize, for us, that's pure trafe. This stuff is absolutely trafe. I mean, I can't, the equipment that they split it on is, it's about 100 feet tall, 10 feet across, and it cooks up thousands and thousands of gallons of the stuff at a time, okay? After they finish making one, they just put the next one in right afterwards, okay? With the same water in there. It's like, whatever, it's trafe as could be.
Same water, which is what?
This water is worked in the process, there's water used in the process of splitting this. And they don't change the water. The water, they just go right in, and it stays dirty, and they go right from one to the other. It has no, you know, this is, whatever. That's just the way the industry works. Okay, there's purification later on. The fatty acids are purified later on, so they don't care about any contamination because everything gets purified later in the process. So of all these things, the glycerin is the one that is the most of an issue of these ones that we're going to mention over here. Okay, it has no leniencies. There's no bittul. There's no pgima. There's nothing like that, and it's potentially a real issue device. Okay, so that's a much for scaring everybody if I can. Okay, so that's it. Really is. It's a quite serious one, and we'll see as we go on how that plays into the whole thing. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to let you be aware of that thing. The other one that we're going to talk about now, we're not going to fully explain it, is flavors. Most liquid and chewable medicines have flavors in them because people want to eat it, they enjoy eating that thing. And flavors, there are, like I said, for two extreme opinions about it, and I'm going to tell you an in-between opinion, which is, what are flavors made out of? How do they make, you know, something taste like cherry or banana or something like that? It has nothing to do with the original fruit. No, everybody knows that already. You know, when it tastes like cherry flavor, has never ever saw cherry ever in its life. Okay, so what makes it give that taste? What they do is it's really amazing that I've watched people do this. The flavorist, they go to item, let's say a cherry, and they bite into a cherry. And when we bite into a cherry, we say it tastes like a cherry. They bite into it, and they could describe in words what they're tasting. But they don't even just describe it as a taste. We would say, oh, it tastes like a cherry. No, they say is, they have a whole language. They say, I taste a brown note after 2 seconds. And I taste a woody note after 4 seconds. They have this whole vocabulary, but not only, the vocabulary is not the thing. The thing is that they can describe it, break down what they're tasting into 10 different parts. And then what they do is, then they go back into the lab, and they go and they recreate what they just tasted. They say, what would give a brown note after 2 seconds? Okay, let's put in a little bit of this stuff. That gives a brown note after 2 seconds. And what would give a weak, woody note after 4 seconds? And they put in some of that stuff to put it, and then they concoct, then they try what they've just tasted. You know what? It needs a little more green in there, you know? And so they put another, and then they play with it to make it, then after they got the basic flavor, then they'll put in their own twist on it. They want. They don't want their cherry to taste like everybody else's cherry, so they put in their own thing that gives it its own. So they're able to taste within a food all kinds of things that most people don't notice. Okay, we just, oh, it's a little too salty. But that's what we can tell. But they could really, they're like, mama, hone in on exactly what it is. So the flavor that you eat has, let's say, 10 flavor components in it. Okay? It has 10 flavor components, and it has 10 non-flavor components. Okay, the 10 things that have other roles in there that have nothing to do with flavor. Now, the flavor, when you put a flavor into a food, it's very concentrated, and it's almost always baltimore shishim. Okay, there's almost always shishim against how much is in there. Okay, so anything that doesn't give tam is baltimore automatically. Don't worry about that stuff. That stuff is baltimore. The things that give tam, those parts that give tam, those 10 chemicals that give tam, things that give tam can't be baltimore. Even if it's shishim connected, they can't be baltimore. Okay?
Natural flavors or it's chemicals? What?
Either. It doesn't make difference. I mean, when they say natural flavor means is it's something that gives flavor made from natural sources. Okay? It does. Natural cherry doesn't mean that the flavor comes from a cherry. It means that they use natural sources to create. For example, if they took a fatty acid from olive oil and that fatty acid gives a cherry taste, then that's considered a natural cherry flavor, even though it came from olive oil. But those chemicals that they use came from natural sources, as opposed to if they took it from petroleum, then that's considered not natural, and then that same cherry flavor from petroleum would not be good. So the parts that are nois and tam cannot be bottle. Things that are that give tam cannot be bottle. Okay? But there's a rule here. There's a rule here. This might be a drop complicated. There's a rule called melach habalua midam. What does that mean? Melach means a piece of salt that absorbed dam into it. And you put this salt in to spice your food. Now the salt can't be bottle because it's nois and tam. It can't be bottle. Okay? However, the blood that was absorbed into the salt is not something that gives taste. It doesn't give. It's not a concentrate like it's not a spice that can give flavor a lot. It can't be nois and tam beyond shishim. So if you took a piece of salt that absorbed blood, and then you put that salt into your food, then the blood that was absorbed into there is bottle. The salt can't be bottle, but the blood can be bottle.
What do you mean nois and tam beyond shishim?
Meaning things that are concentrates, things that are avidal taima. Things that are there for giving flavor, like black pepper, is not bottle of shishim, because it gives taste even beyond shishim. Shishim is only a rule for regular foods. If I put in some animal fat, that would be bottle of shishim. It doesn't give tam pia shishim. But if I put in black pepper, that is bottle of shishim. That's not bottle of shishim, because it gives tam even pia shishim. But if that black pepper had absorbed tam from something else, the other thing that it absorbed is not nice and tam for so far. Only the black pepper itself is nice and tam. So if the pepper was kosher, but the blia was... that was into the black pepper is tray, it can be bought.
And when you said there's always shishim, is that because every company is always making vast amounts?
No, that's because flavors are used in very concentrated form, like a tenth of a percent. Uh-huh. They're so potent, they're so strong, that you only put in a tiny amount of it. So you make 1,000 gallons of medicine, and you put in an ounce of flavor. You put in a tiny amount, because that's enough to give flavor to this whole thing.
Kind of literal, okay. An ounce, and it could be 10,000 ounce?
A tenth of a percent is a normal amount. You know what I mean? Maybe it's like a half of a percent is normal. So I wasn't thinking the numbers as I'm speaking, so maybe that was an exaggeration.
Sounds wild.
But they're very potent, and they're very strong. Okay, so the parts that are nois and tam, can be treif. They can be. You don't want to hear where they can come from. Okay, they come from really straight, it's worse than glycerin. Okay, they're really, really unusual places. You as my kid says, who was the guy who tasted that the first time? whose idea was that to think, to eat? You know, it's illegal now. I'll tell you this one because it's illegal. It's called ambergris. It's illegal for food, which is something that whales spit up. Okay, and so whose dumb idea was this to taste? Whose thought of this stupid idea? Whose thought of tasting? Now, it may taste good, but who had the right idea to taste this stuff? Again, yeah. So you don't really want to know where the stuff comes from, but it could be really cheap. However, you should know that the things that are nois and tam usually, in almost every case, are not inherently treif. Most of the things that are treif that are nois and tam are treif because they have blias from something else. They're treif because they're made on equipment that could be used for treif. For whatever reasons, the science is not important. Usually the things that are nois and tam are not, these flavor chemicals are not inherently treif, but rather they're treif because they have a blia from something that's treif. Okay? They were made on the same kalim as something that was treif, but they themselves are inherently not treif. And therefore, most of the time, the things that are vidal time within a flavor can be bottle because of this rule called the melech habluah midam. The vidal time itself is inherently kosher. It has a blia of something that's treif, and therefore, it can be bottle b'shishim. Okay, if there's 100 times as much of it, it can be bottle even though in itself is treif because it has a blia. But that blia is bottle.
Okay. It's coincidental that it happens to have bleas from treif.
No, it's because the short-chain fatty acids are the ones that give flavor, and they come from vegetable items. But they're often made on the same kalim as the long chains. The long chains don't give tam. So it has. There's a reason why, it's not by a mistake, that the avidal timers are usually kosher, but that they're made on the same kalim is because this sophisticated equipment could be used for lots of things, so people would use this and that. So if you came and asked for hashgacha on the thing, we wouldn't accept that ingredient without a hashgacha, because we'd say it could have been made on treif kalim. But now we're not talking about making hashgacha. We're talking about, is it mutter b'dieved, the blias that are in there are a melech habluah midam, and they're usually bottle. Okay, so now, there's now three ways to look at this shaila, okay? How to deal with flavors going into foods or medicines or like that. There are those who say it can be in a way that's not bottle. It could be that the flavor component is not bottle, and therefore, you can't use a flavored medicine without hashgacha. because it could be that the flavor is there and it's not batel. Okay, that's one way of looking at it. Okay,
and it could be just that it's not usually.
I said it's usually not, but it could be. Okay, the opposite extreme is it's so rare to use those inherently trafe things, which is true. The people who use those inherently trafe things are typically people who are in different kind of business than the people making medicines. It's if I'm making soda and I want to compete against somebody else, I'm going to use all kinds of sophisticated things to try to compete for my business against yours, because I'm competing against somebody else. The people who are making medicine are not, they do compete with each other, but not to the same extent. They usually don't use such sophisticated things as the inherently trafe flavorful components. Okay, so they say it's so rare that you should have that, you don't have to be chayshish for that. Okay, you don't have to be chayshish for that, and therefore you can use, doesn't matter what the flavor is. Don't worry about the flavor. The flavor might be trafe, but it's rare that it could trafe up the food, the medicine, and therefore don't worry about it. Okay?
So we could be having a very different discussion about flavors and ingredients if we're talking about foods in the grocery store.
Yeah, if it was foods in the grocery store, you wouldn't touch something with a flavor in it unless it had hashgach on it. Right? You wouldn't touch that. Why on earth would you eat something that had a flavor in it when the flavor could be trafe? No. We wouldn't talk about that. We're talking about medicine. It's a very different frame of mind. So there are those who say is you can't take any flavored medicine because the flavor might be trafe. The opposite extreme is there are those who say that you could ignore the flavors. Don't worry about what the flavors are because they're almost never trafe. They're almost never trafe in a way that trafes up the food, the medicine. Excuse me. And then what we think is correct, which is a middle shita. We think it's correct. Is we'll get. You'll see later on where it fits in, an in between of when you can ignore it and when you should not ignore it. Okay, we'll see as we move on that there's such a middle. But the of those two that I mentioned to you, one that says that it's always trafe, one that says that it's always ignore it. The one that says always ignore it has more validity in my mind than the one that says always be cautious with it. Because the chances of it being a thing that's trafe, that trafes up the food for the event is very rare. Okay, it's not such a common thing, and therefore, that's in fact more defensible. That opinion. Okay, so we got through our first step. We're going to do gelatin in a minute. Gelatin's going to come in a couple minutes. Okay. So we got through our first thing, which is we look at a medicine. We pick up the bottle. And I thought afterwards I should have recommended you bring in a bottle of something you have in your house, and you look at the medicines. We'll look through the things, and you see all these kind of lists of ingredients, and so. When at first it's very frightening because you don't have any idea what all these things are. But someone could help you. Someone could coach you. You'll realize that there's only 10 medicines in your medicine cabinet. How many medicines do you take? You'll realize there aren't that many that you have a shiloh about. And you'll turn... No, you'll see as we go on. There aren't that many that you're really going to have a shiloh about. So those handful that you have a shiloh about, you'll ask someone, say, can I read you off the ingredients that are in my thing and tell me which one of these are sensitive? Okay? Is propylene glycol, is that kosher or trafe? Well, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything to me, but someone who works with food, I mean, the people who work in kashrus are the ones who have the most experience in that, can look at it and will tell you yes or no. That's what they're good at. Okay? So that's our first thing. Our next question was, second question was, is there a substitute? We have something with sensitive ingredients, it might not be kosher. Is there a substitute, something that could be done kosher? And I'm going to give you a good example of that. How I know this information is not important for right now. Okay, but liquid Motrin, okay, for that is the children, not the infant, the liquid Motrin for children, the grape-flavored one is kosher. Okay? But the other flavors, I can't tell you whether they are. So let's say I think there's an orange flavor. Okay? The orange flavor, I have no idea if it's kosher. Okay? They both look the same. What's the difference? You know, they both do the same job. So if I said to you, let's say we could think of 10 reasons why it's mutter to take the orange flavor, and we'll see, there might be reasons why you'd be allowed to take it. But why would you do that? Well, you're not allowed to do that if I tell you that the grape one is kosher. Okay, for the infant one, the berry flavor is kosher. So why would you take the different flavor if you have a substitute which is perfectly kosher?
The grape one is, you can find a grape one?
Yeah, it's in my house. I have it in my house. You go to Jewel. So, if the first one you walk into doesn't have grape, you're right, the grape is not as common. The first one doesn't...
I think you see the, I don't know if it's orange or cherry, whatever the color is.
Infant.
So what I'm saying to you is that if you walk into CVS and they don't, if you walk into CVS and they don't have it, okay, that's not a good enough excuse to say, I can't have it. If I say to you that if you trust me that the grape is really kosher, so then guess what? You go to other stores for other things. Guess what? You'll find the grape. I found the grape. You're right. It's not as common. It's harder to find it. But here you have a substitute. Okay, in the children's Tylenol. Okay, the cherry blast for children is okay. Okay, but now there's another flavor that might not be kosher. But why? You have no right to use the other one and rely on all kinds of bittles and coolers when you know that this one that is kosher that's does the same job. It's
well, what your kid will take or not take.
That plays a role. Yeah, that'll play a role later on. I'm saying is, assuming that the kid will take, basically, I have to tell you that the people in the more sophisticated companies, like at McNeil, who make Motrin and Tylenol, are very particular about what flavors they use, and by and large, their flavors are kid like them. Okay? Because they put a lot of effort into that to make sure that kids should like it. That's why you'll buy theirs instead of the store brand, because theirs tastes better. Your kids will take it. Okay? What? Right. Okay. But so you—that's not an excuse. You know, to save yourself 50 cents is not a right to say I'm going to buy the store brand of that medicine when the store brand could be really, really cheap. I mean, 20% glycerin. You know what I mean? And it has flavors in it, and has, I don't know what else in it. When you, and right over there for another dollar, you could buy the one that's kosher. Then you're not entitled to be selling from these kind of coolers when you know that the thing is kosher. Okay. Our other two questions are this. Third question was, how edible is the medicine? And for that, there's three levels of how edible a food is. I'll start by answering your question. We know there are things that are edible and that are not edible. Okay, I said mentioned to you before black pepper. Do you think that black pepper is edible or not edible? You think not edible?
Okay.
It's edible. People might not eat it, but it's edible.
You can't it's edible.
It like that.
What?
You can take a thing and pop
it in your mouth. Well, it doesn't. It may not taste good, but it
doesn't
hurt you.
It might burn your mouth.
So like Elmer's glue.
Doesn't hurt.
Elmer's glue is edible.
Okay. So yeah, it is. Okay. So you say it depends on whether it's going to hurt you or not. Okay.
Okay. You don't think raw pepper is edible.
You don't think black pepper is edible. Okay. Well, did you have chunk yesterday? Did you have black pepper in your chunk yesterday? Okay, so the answer is like this. The Gemara talks about this. The answer is like this. The Gemara actually talks about black pepper. But the answer is like this. There's three levels of how edible a food could be. A food could be fully edible. Okay, for example, we're talking about like medicine kind of things. You go to get, you have Gatorade. Okay, is that edible? Yeah, it's edible. People drink it all the time. Okay, it has no hashgach on it. We don't know if it's kosher. But that's a fully edible item. On the other extreme, we have inedible pills. Tablets are inedible. If you ever try tasting into one by mistake, I take a pill every morning, and once in a while it doesn't go down right, and then you taste it, and then you know that it's not edible. Okay, as soon as you bite into the thing, it's awful, right? If you ever bite into it, you're supposed to swallow it.
Edible flavor is different, is it?
What do you mean?
I mean, biting into a pill, oh, disgusting, doesn't mean I can't eat it, though.
No, edible means, is it something that if you would chew it, if you would eat the thing up, it would taste good? You would enjoy eating this thing.
Well, why then? For example, I can't eat cabbage. It's not edible.
Okay. We're not going to judge that by specific people. We're talking about the typically people who eat cottage cheese consider it edible. There's plenty of they're selling in the supermarket. The fact that you don't like cottage cheese doesn't take away from it being a food. As opposed to pills, pills are not. No one they don't serve pills to anybody. People don't chew pills. Nobody ever chews pills.
That's right.
Okay.
What about like chewing the rollers?
I'm talking about a pill, a tablet that you're supposed to swallow. My Lipitor that I'm supposed to swallow. It's not chewable. Okay. You're supposed to swallow it. Now, the in-between case is the following. What happens if you have a food? You have a food, and I'm going to use black pepper. It's a Gemara's example. Is you have a food that has no, that has. It is used as a food ingredient, like black pepper. It was in my chunk yesterday. There was black pepper. It's a food ingredient. Okay, but nobody eats it straight. Okay, you would choke if you tried to eat a spoonful of black pepper, and you can't eat it. So that kind of a food has the following status: it is considered edible. It's considered a royal achila because it's used as a food ingredient. However, if you eat it straight, if you eat it as is. It's only us in the Drabanan to eat something treif like that. It's called Shaloi Kederach Achila. You ate it in a non-typical manner. It's not like my pill is like chalk. Okay? It doesn't make sense how you ate it. It's not edible. Okay? You're not over any insert to eat it because it's not a food item. But black pepper is a food item. The Gemara says, they told people, that they told them this over, they used the example of vinegar. And one of the Gemara's examples is vinegar. And they said eating vinegar is not considered, vinegar is, of course, it's a food item. It's used, you use it lots in foods, but if you drink a cup of vinegar, you try to think about drinking a cup of vinegar. So the Gemara says, it's only us and the Rabbanan, only us and the Rabbanan to drink a cup of vinegar. Okay? So the Gemara has a bunch of examples of things like this that are only us and the Rabbanan to eat them. And we and that's going to come in the Gea, and I have one very specific example. Okay? And the example is what I said I'll mention before, which is a gelatin tone. Gelatin is something made from animal hides, typically pig skins, that's what it's usually made out of. And we, most, it's generally accepted nowadays that gelatin made from pig skins is treif. There's debate about that, but it's generally accepted that it's treif. And gelatin, when you have a gelatin capsule, there's two types of gelatin capsules. There's the hard, like sort of the old-fashioned hard gelatin capsules, okay, which look like a, they fit like two pieces into each other, okay? And those are typically are 100% pure gelatin. What they do is they take something that looks like a pencil and they dunk it into the liquid gelatin, okay? Dunk it in, and then it dries on the end of the like the pencil, the pole sticking out. It dries onto that to make that little cap at the end. Okay? It's pure gelatin. Now, gelatin, if you take a food that's a food item, I'm going to back up a second. Let's say I take a potato, okay, which is edible, and I swallow it without chewing. Okay, did I eat or did I not eat when I did that? I took a potato, I didn't chew it. I just swallowed it straight down without chewing it.
So you didn't eat.
So is that considered that I ate, I didn't eat, or I did the in-between, the shlunk, the what would you say if I did?
You're still consuming it in your body.
You don't eat it normally.
So you would think that it's shlunk, because I swallowed it. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says, if you swallow something that's meant to be eaten, you swallow it whole, it's considered like you ate it. Okay, it's considered completely like you ate the food. So, if I take gelatin, which is a food item, it's used as a food ingredient, and I swallow it whole, the fact that I swallowed it doesn't get me off the hook. The fact that I swallowed it is still considered that I ate it. And even though I didn't chew it, it's considered I ate it. However, when you use gelatin, how do you use gelatin as a food item? Okay, you use it like you use pepper, which is, you make yogurt, you put gelatin in to make it thick, to thicken the yogurt. You put a small amount of it, a couple of percent, 1% of it, gelatin into there, and it thickens the yogurt. Nobody eats gelatin straight. It's not meant to be eaten straight, just like black pepper is not meant to be eaten straight. So if you eat it straight, if you swallow a pill made out of gelatin, you're doing it shalakadar chachila, because, not because you swallowed it. Swallowing doesn't get you off the hook. It's because you ate something that's meant to be eaten as a food ingredient, you ate it straight in a way it doesn't taste good. Like if you drink oil. The Gemara is another example. You drink vegetable oil, okay? Vegetable oil is an ingredient, but if you drink it straight, it's just not what people do. It just doesn't taste right. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. And that's considered shlakadar chachila. It's only us and the Rabbanan to eat that. So gelatin, and the soft gels, are a little more complicated. They're not made out of pure gelatin, but they're gelatin with a few other food ingredients, like glycerin, sorbitol, some other food ingredients. Okay, they're just made, but it's all food ingredients. Basically, it's all food ingredients that make it, and it gets hardened into like what they call, they plasticize it. That's even the word they use. They make, it has certain, it looks like plastic.
Is that like the gel caps?
Yeah, there's hard and soft. There's hard gel caps, that's like the two pieces that come apart, right. And the, what they call the soft gels, which is,
the soft gels,
no, they don't melt in your mouth. The soft gels come as one whole unit. You sort of can't figure out how they got the medicine in. There's a liquid medicine on the inside. And they don't. The companies that make medicine, so they send it out to be done specially. And those are made with gelatin and a few other ingredients. But again, those are all things that are food ingredients. And therefore, they can't say they're not edible. Even though to us, they look like plastic. Okay, but they're really not. They really are food ingredients. It's like saying black pepper is not edible. It's not true. It really is edible. But it's in a way that to eat it as is considered shlokidar chachil. It's asim drabanan. Okay, and we'll see soon. Who cares? What does that make a difference? Asim drabanan is asim also, right? So we'll find out soon that makes a difference whether something is only asim drabanan. Okay, and the last question that we have to deal with is how sick a person is. And here again, there are three groups. These you're probably familiar with. These three groups. One is that a person who has a sakana, okay, or even any suffix sakana, anything remote, like for example. Most infections are considered suffix sakana because not treated, they can lead to things that are sakana. Okay, so most, not every, but just about most infections are suffix sakana. And of course, more serious things like, you know, heart disease, and we're not even talking about that. Even infections are typically considered are suffix sakana. And the other extreme is what we call a mechus, just something you're uncomfortable. Okay, the guy wants to using mouthwash in the morning. He wants his hair to grow longer or his toenails to be shinier, right? So he's just doing something to make himself more comfortable, but it's not, has nothing to do at all with a medical condition. It's just he likes to do this thing. It has nothing, it doesn't have any health connection to it. And then the middle group is called what we call a chodosh embosakon, okay, someone who's incapacitated. Someone who, if we don't treat what he has, he won't sleep, or he'll only sleep, or he won't be able to walk around. He just won't be functional. He won't be doing functional. He's not a sakana. Nothing's going to happen to him.
Like a headache would fall in that category?
It depends what kind of headache he has. Depends what kind of headache he has. A guy has the flu. Swine flu aside, most healthy people don't die from the flu. Okay? Most of the people who die from the flu are people who have some other health concern. But most, a typical 30-year-old guy who gets the flu, he's sick for a week. Okay, but he's a cholosh em basakana because he's so worn out he can't get out of bed. He's like not functional. He's not that's called the cholosh em basakana. Okay, what's the din of these three groups? A person who's a sakana or a suffolk sakana is allowed to be for any iser to protect, to help himself, to help his condition. He could do any iser. A person who has just a mechush, who's just uncomfortable, who's trying to relieve, make himself more comfortable, can't do any iser. And a person who has a cholosh em basakana, the person who's incapacitated, can do many isurim drabanan. Not all, but many isurim drabanan he's allowed to do. He's allowed to be over. The Chacham said, we're not goyz or our gzeir drabanan for a person in that kind of a condition. And they let him do many isurim drabanan. They let go for cholosh em basakana.
No
issue arises. But they let him do. Now, one important exception is he's not allowed to do any isurei achila that are awesome drabanan. Meaning, Gvinas Akam, I think, is Gvinas Akam is an Issur Drabanan, and I don't. He's not allowed to do that. Chodesh Em Basakon does not eat Gvinas Akam. Okay? He's not allowed to eat things that are usher to eat Midrabanan. However, one Issur Drabanan about Achila he is allowed to, which is very important to us. Okay, which is he's allowed to eat Shloka Derech Achila. Eating Shloka Derech Achila, I say to you, is usher Midrabanan. Okay, if you eat black pepper, you eat a gel cap. That's usher Midrabanan to eat that. But a Chodesh Em Basakon is allowed to go over that Issur Drabanan. Okay, that's a very certain in your there. He's allowed to eat an Issur Drabanan. He's allowed to eat Shalak Yidar Chachila. Okay, so here we're hearing our first rule, which is, we have a person who's a Chodosh Em Basakana. We have a guy laying in bed sick with the flu, and he wants to take a cough medicine. Okay, which might... He wants to take a gel cap. We'll get to cough medicine in a second. He wants to take a gel cap that will help him get better. Okay, that person is being over in eating Shalak Yidar Chachila. He's eating his gelatin Shalak Yidar Chachila. Since he's a Chodosh Em Basakana, he could take it. If he's just, Stan has a headache, a simple headache, and he wants to take it, he wouldn't be allowed to take it. Okay? Now, it's another part to this rule is, which is also important for us, is that, as a rule, children are considered to be a cholosh em basakana. A child who's sick is considered a cholosh em basakana, and my way of understanding it, Rabbi Weiner told me he has a little bit of a different way of understanding it, is, the way I've been told is, that it means it like this. When a child becomes sick, a sickness that, for me, would just make me uncomfortable, children are not able to tolerate their pain as well, and it makes them be incapacitated. They just can't handle it. They fell down, my son falls down, and he just can't move. He's beyond himself. He's 2 years old. He's beyond himself because he fell down. Okay, when I fell down, so you pick yourself up, right? But it totally wipes him out, that he can't put the pain in place, and it totally wipes him out. So he has a runny nose, becomes incapacitated from that. Everyone knows. Well, you deal with it. It's just life. But so kids are considered a cholosh em basakana with many illnesses or things that for adults would not be counted. And therefore, what's important for us is that usually the shilas that we're going to have are going to be on liquid medicines, liquids and chewables, okay, which are meant for kids. Okay? And in many cases, kids are automatically cholosh em basakana. So that sort of works together. Okay. Now that we've finished the first half. Okay, but now we're going to move to the second half, which is we're going to try to put these rules that we just said together and make some more sense out of it, try to be more exact. I'm going to hand something out to you. I'm going to ask you if you could just turn the pages with me and not jump ahead, okay, if I could ask you to do it. It's frightening to jump to the end, that's why. We're going to do it slowly. It won't be as frightening.
Or
I don't have any more. I'm sorry. When we're finished, whoever didn't get one could take mine. I just need one to work with, just to... Okay. If you turn to the first page, you'll see that we have three of the questions are there on the page, okay, which are, we need to, in deciding whether you could take a medicine, we're going to look at the ingredients, whether there's a substitute, and how you eat it. Okay, the fourth will come, you'll see, we'll show it say, way up. Okay, so these are three of the questions we have to talk about. Are there sensitive ingredients, are there substitutes, and are not. So if you turn to the page two, okay, page two, we have as follows. If the ingredients are innocuous, we're going to break up our ingredients into four groups. Okay, I told you that, you know, ingredients can be a little kosher or not so kosher, in between. I'm going to group the four groups. Okay? Assuming that the ingredients in the thing are innocuous, okay, which is most of the active ingredients in medicines are usually innocuous. The actual medicinal part of it, water and sucrose and propylene glycol, silicon dioxide, those kind of things are all innocuous. Okay, so lots of the ingredients are going to be, if all the ingredients are innocuous, then what could you do?
What's the definition of innocuous?
Innocuous means that of no concern, means like no issues. And in our case, we mean to say is innocuous means there's no kashrus issues with them. That's what in our case, excuse me, innocuous means that they're of no kashrus concern. So if the ingredients are innocuous, then you're okay. No problem. You can take it. Okay, you can take it. For example, one of my children takes something called Miralax, okay, which is it's a laxative, and it's a powder which you mix into water and then you drink it. Okay, and it's edible, I mean, you drink it, but there's only one ingredient in it, polyethylene glycol, which is made out of petroleum. Okay, that's all. There's only one ingredient in this thing, and it has no kashrus concerns to it, so we take it. No, the ingredients are completely innocuous. There's nothing in there. Now, this is not so typical. You just have this one simple ingredient, but it's just one ingredient. There's nothing to it, so it's fine. You can take it. Okay, and the opposite extreme, which we're jumping ahead. We're really going out of order, which is sort of what you said, maybe, but we're jumping ahead, which is, if the medicine is taken in an inedible form, okay, it's on the right side. If it's taken inedible, meaning taken in a pill form, then it's also okay. Okay, and the truth is that covers the bulk of medicine that people take. The medicine that adults take. Okay, I take Lipitor every morning because it's inedible. I don't remember even what's inside of it. I think I won't stop that. I don't remember what's inside of it, but it's inedible, so I don't really care what's inside of it. Because that's for adults, that's sort of covered most things. Okay.
Is there a difference between over-the-counter or prescription?
At this point in our discussion, no, there isn't. What I mean is, that has to do with how sick the person is. Typically, the prescription things are for sicker people, and the over-the-counter are for less sick people. Not necessarily, but in a certain sense. So over-the-counter and prescription only plays a role in when we think about how sick the person is. But for example, you know, there's cough medicines that are over-the-counter that are prescription-only also. That doesn't mean that they're only for sicker people. That just, for whatever reason, they're controlling the pseudoephedrine. They don't want you to take that, you know.
You're something like Oscil versus Frida brand of calcium.
Mm-hmm.
Oscil is coming from oyster shells, the calcium.
And Frida?
And Frida is guys all you.
It just comes from moisture shells.
But it's not edible.
It also comes from moisture shells.
What?
It also comes from moisture shells.
Oh, okay.
Calcium comes from oyster shells. And there, if you want, we can do about it afterwards. That's fine. It's kosher. Oyster shells are kosher. Most calcium comes from oyster shells. Oysters are not kosher. No, they're not. But oyster shells are kosher.
So inedible, you're referring to in a pill form.
But like in a pill form.
Not in a syrup form.
No, that's inedible. This thing is really out of place. You'll see. The line's going to disappear on the next page.
It's a pill form.
Yeah, I'm talking about like in a pill form. It's inedible. Okay?
I'm not buying it. So oyster shells are kosher. In fact, you know what's kosher? It's not kosher.
Oyster shells? Okay. If you actually bit into an oyster shell, you would have a different problem. Sorry for your teeth. No. You have a different problem. It's called, there's a shell called achshei. Okay, we're going to put that on the side for that. But basically, oyster shells are kosher. You could eat
them up and put them in my soup.
Basically, you could. If you did it in a food way, you really can't. I'm saying you can't do it in that way. You run into a different issue called achshei. I'm going to put that on the side. But it really is kosher. Okay. Whether if you actually chose to eat it, you have your own other issues. But at like in a calcium pill, that's okay.
Someone mentioned vitamins. Vitamins in a pill form. Are we the same thing?
Okay, I'm gonna put vitamins on the side for a second. Okay, if I can ask you, vitamins has a different. Okay, I'll tell you.
It's not edible.
I'll give it to you in short. I'll give it to you in short. Okay, vitamins. What he mentioned, which is a thing called ashrei, which is if I eat something that's not edible. I choose to eat something that's not edible. I bite into an oyster shell, then midrabanan, it's considered that it is edible. Why? Because if I chose to eat it, obviously I consider it edible. That's why I bit into it. I'm showing that I consider it edible. Therefore, midrabanan, it is considered edible. Okay? That's a rule called achshavei. If I eat something that's inherently inedible, that shows that I consider it edible, and it's usher to eat that food. I'm giving it chashivas. I'm showing that I consider it edible.
Just for me.
Just for you.
So is that all in the same category where potatoes are muksa, but people who like eat them raw, weird ones, are considering it's not muksa anymore?
Well, this is even more extreme than that. This is something that's really not edible. Okay, it's a piece of cardboard. It's an oyster shell that's really not edible. It really isn't edible. It's not even passively edible. I mean, we could argue, you know, there are people who eat raw potatoes. It's a potato salad. This is really not... Okay, so it's considered midrabanan, it's considered that you made it considered edible. That rule, actually, does not apply when you're taking something for medicinal purposes. When I'm taking a medicine, the reason why I'm swallowing the pill is not because I consider it edible, it's because I need the medicine. I'm not showing that I consider it a food item. I'm showing that I need to get better. Okay, I need to help myself. Therefore, I'm taking this medicine. There's no achshavei when you take it for a medicine reason. So now there's a question: how to treat vitamins? Okay, there are those who look at vitamins as so I'm taking medicine. So when I take medicine, I don't say achshavei the fact that I'm swallowing it shows that I want it to be food. I'm showing that I want to be healthy. It doesn't show that I consider it food. That's one way of looking at it. And the other way of looking at it is that what I'm doing is when I take a vitamin pill. What I'm doing is, I say, I don't want to sit down and eat 4 steaks, so I'm taking an iron pill. I don't want to eat a whole container full of oranges, so I'd rather take a vitamin C pill. So what I'm doing is, I'm doing it as a food replacement. Okay, so Ramosha is supposed to have held like that, that vitamins are considered food replacements, and therefore, when you eat the vitamin pill, there is actually on a vitamin pill where it is not on a medicine pill. On a medicine pill, there's no actually because I'm taking it as for medicinal. I'm not taking it to. I'm not showing that I consider it food. I'm showing that I consider it medicine. And on vitamins, Rav Moshe has told people that no, that's considered. It's a food replacement, unless a person has a medical condition. If a person's anemic, that's different. They're just taking it as a medicine. For the typical person who's just taking iron, just because they're taking a vitamin pill, Rav Moshe held that's considered. There is actually when you take an inedible pill. A vitamin pill because you're taking a food replacement. Not everybody agrees that. I said to you, there's two ways of looking at it. Okay, we sort of got distracted. Okay.
My fault, sorry.
It's okay. Page 3, okay? Okay, we're still in the ingredients. We're still in the ingredients. We have our ingredient. It could be, if it was innocuous, we're off the hook. Now, I told you there's going to be 4 levels of how we're going to group our ingredients. There are ones that are trivial ingredients. The kasher's concern is trivial. What do I mean? It's, for example, it's always baltim shishim. Okay, and it'll be bottled. There's no problems of avidal timer, etc. like that, because it's always bottled. It's not a minute. We sort of got off the hook. But the thing that's in there might be treif. But we were mavatal. We have a ways to avoid that iser. Okay, so as an example, I said to you that gum arabic. Okay, gum arabic is inherently kosher. It comes from a plant, but it's made on equipment that could be used for treif items. Okay, the stearates, magnesium stearate on the outside of the pill. Okay, it could be really treif. It comes from the word stearate has to do with the word steer. Okay, it's from fatty acids that come from animal fat. That's the fatty acids. So it could be really treif, but it's always bottled. Okay, the amount that they put on, not always, but in almost every case, it's bottled. Okay, other things like that, there's triacids, other things like that, they're always bottled. So the rule for those is, for those things which are, the kasher's concern is minimal because it's always going to be bottled, the real treat that as follows. If there's a kosher substitute, they should take kosher substitute. Why taking this one? Why are you taking this pill that has the stearate that might be treif when you have another one that has stearate that's kosher? Okay. But if there's no substitute, then it's batal and it's mutter. Okay. So that's what the chart tells us now. If the iser is trivial, we have an iser where it's going to always be batal. It's not going to be a big deal. So if you had a choice, why are you eating the thing that has the bittul in it?
How do you know the kosher ran is going to be a good substitute?
I'm not the doctor. I'm saying to you, you have a thing in front of you that serves the same purpose. You know, one as the other one. Yep. And
people don't like to buy four brands because they're not sure if it's going to be just as good, even though they say it is.
Right. So I'm not here to tell you whether it is or is not a substitute. You can ask that to your doctor. What I'm saying is that assuming that there's a substitute that does the same job as this one, okay? How are you going to judge that? Judge that on your own. If this thing is an equal substitute, then why are you relying on Bittul when you can have the one that's kosher?
So you'd have a separate line for Dr. Zakharov.
No.
And if he says that it's not...
The question is substitute available. I said, is there a substitute? So I say to you, instead of taking vitamin C, you could take vitamin B12. Well, that's ridiculous. But vitamin C, they're not doing the same thing. That's not a substitute. When I said there is a substitute, means that the other thing is going to do the same job as what this will do. It's whatever you need, it'll do this, cover the same things. Okay? Fine. Okay, next page. Okay.
What responsibility is on somebody to look for that?
To look for what?
A substitute. So you can get an amoxicillin prescription, you go renewal. You ask them, he has three different types of amoxicillin, three different manufacturers, and you call the CFC and ask which one.
Okay, so
he has strep.
That's an interesting question. We're not really up to it yet, but I'll answer that question. That's a good question. They go to get amoxicillin. Okay, and it could be TRAFE. I'm almost sure the liquid one has xanthan gum in it, and it may even have glycerin. Maybe yes, maybe not have glycerin. It could be TRAFE, but we're going to see soon that it's okay because it's for an infection, for a suffix anaconda. She says, but wait a second, but is there a substitute available? And the answer is, if you go to the CRC, we can help you. But if you're staying in the pharmacy, if you're staying in the doctor's office, you really can help yourself because amoxicillin comes in pill form also. Okay, it comes in pill, gel cap, and liquid. So, if you're talking about a 2-year-old, well, a pill's not going to do you any good. But if you're talking about an 11-year-old, the doctor, just by habit, will give the kid a liquid. And you could say to the doctor, can you prescribe the pill? Not even the gel cap, can you prescribe the pill? That didn't cost anything. It's the same thing. He gives you that many milligrams of whatever he has to do, but by habit, he'll give you the liquid. Or he'll say, I'll give you the gel cap. It's just by habit, what he chooses to do. You could say is, can you give me the pill form of the same medicine? So your 11-year-old could take it, so why not?
You have a 9-year-old or a 10-year-old that can't swallow it or they're uncomfortable.
So then you don't have a substitute. I'm talking about, you think, is there a substitute? You're standing there.
Maybe a liquid is a substitute. How do we know that?
What do you say? No, I'm saying the liquid is
going to have... Maybe there's different type of liquids. Maybe there's different companies. Like maybe
there is. So within that, I can't help you within the liquid.
I know that.
Okay, so in America, there's no one who has that kind of information about liquid medicines. I mean, in erythritol, there is. Erythritol is very different. Erythritol, people's medicine, there's a few, what they call kupat cholim, like the insurance companies, and they work very much hand-in-hand with the hashkafas there, because hashkafas say that if you don't help us figure out which medicines are kosher, then we'll tell our people not to use them, and your kupa will lose their business, and etc. It's very different there. So in erythritol, there are actually things that you can know that are kosher. Okay? But it's different. Erythritol is very different than America. But here, if you tell me I have brand name amoxicillin, I have generic amoxicillin, these 40, I can't tell you which one's better. No one who knows enough about what's going on to be able to tell you that.
Okay. So then it doesn't matter anyway.
Right. So then we'll decide whether you can take it or not. You'll have to decide, can you give the amoxicillin or not? But if you had the pill choice, so I've done that. Usually I forget at the doctor and I wait at the pharmacy, and then they have to call the doctor back and say, is it okay to give this kid a pill? And the doctor says, yeah. So, well, what did it cost to do that? It's the same thing. It's the same medicinally, it does the same thing.
So you can do that on your own also. Like, I bought a generic brand once, it did work as well, I never have to buy it again. I can go with the name brand now.
From I can't answer that question. That's a doctor's question to answer, whether you should or should not base it on that kind of decision. That's not my...
Based on whether it worked or not. I bought a generic brand, it didn't work for me.
That doesn't, that from a scientific perspective, that doesn't prove because it didn't work for you. You know, sometimes the medicine doesn't work, the brand name either doesn't work.
Not very good. For me, in other words, I know, okay. I bought it once, it didn't work. So for me, do I have to try it again?
You have to ask your doctor that question. Okay, that's not for me.
When you say a substitute, it's not like a kosher brand substitute. It's like regular Advil or Advil liquid gels. So well, obviously you should take regular Advil.
That's correct. That's the same thing. It's medicinally, it's going to do the same trick for you.
Well, what if the liquid gels make your head go away
quicker. So now you have to judge whether that gain entitles you to do this issue rabbanon. Okay, the liquid gel is eating gelatin shalak dar hachila. Okay, that's an issue rabbanon to eat that I can do if I'm a chol she'ein basakarma. Okay, so is my gain of that the medicine gets into me in 15 minutes versus a half an hour entitle me to do that?
Well, I get migraines all the time, so
okay.
Okay. Well, I never taken liquid gels, but I always was thinking about taking them because it takes forever for the regular pills to kick in. So
okay.
You have dropped in water, they mush up so fast.
So that's the question is, really you have to sit down really privately with the rug and say to him, this is my situation. And what he's going to be judging is your gain, meaning you have now a half an hour that you're not, it's going to take for the other medicine to work, that this will work, the liquid gel will work faster. You know, you're going to gain an extra half hour. Should that be treated as a cholosh embasakon? Should you be treated as, for that half hour, I say, you are a cholosh embasakon, therefore you could be over the issur drabon. What we're saying is, come on, it takes another 4 minutes to get better. 4 minutes you can handle. Well, you can wait another 4 minutes.
In this case, the liquor gel is slippery, so she can take it. If you give her the pill, she's got to choke on it.
No, because some people have problems swallowing pills.
Okay.
That are not liquor gels. Like
So then the regular pill is not an option for them.
Right.
That person only has... So now we have to judge the person. Are you allowed to be over that Issa Darbanan for the sickness that you have? Okay. There is no substitute. Just
have their own child.
That's correct. We're talking about rules. I can't tell you how you feel.
There's no general station. You can't.
Look, we're control. Making rules over here, but how where you fit into that rule depends very much on your situation. If it's a.
What are the? I think we're discussing this whole issue because if you take something that's trade and it does have some benefit, but it's still some trade components. There's tintamalate involved.
Well, Tintam Alev is the second issue. The issue is you're not allowed to do Isurim. You're not allowed to eat trade. Tintam Alev is, you know, for the holy people. But it's, you're just not allowed to do Isurim. Just plain old...
Does that factor in to that child that you're going to ask to the Rav?
That what? Whether...
It's Hakra, the Nafizaz.
Potentially. So we're talking about it strictly on the halachic perspective is Mutarasa. Part of what goes on in the background involved also is the Tintam Alev plays a role. Yes, it does play a role in calling. But he says, for 4 minutes, you're going to have to wait to be a little sicker. So part of his judgment of that is that Chayil Shambas HaKana or not is, but maybe you might be allowed to, but you should push yourself because of the Tintam Alev. That might be. That's part of his calling.
You're going to ask for the kids, for women, for the men.
Whatever.
You're okay.
Let's go on. Okay. So now, we're on page 4. Okay. It says page 4. On top, page 4. So we had the innocuous ingredients, trivial ingredients, and now ingredients that have minor issues, which is, it has a suffix drabonon, something that won't be bottled because it's a maimid, let's say. So midrabonon, it won't be bottled. Meaning midrice, it would be bottled, but midrabonon, it won't be bottled because it's a maimid. And this is where we put flavors, which is to say, something that's a flavored item, it's potentially Usher mitaraisa. I mean, it's potentially really not bottle and usher, but chances are that it's not anything that can't be bottle. So we don't feel comfortable saying don't eat any of them. We also don't feel comfortable saying eat them whenever you want to ignore the possibility that it could be trade. Both of those seem a little extreme to say either of those. And again, of the two of those, the more justifiable, I think, is to say that you can ignore the possibility of it being trade. But it's hard to just say, and then just do whatever you want to. So rather than just say, and therefore just do whatever you want, we put it to this minor, we treat it like a minor issue. Okay? There's potentially an isser. And therefore, it has the following rule. And gel caps also fits into this. And the rule is like this. If this is a substitute, then you can't use it. Okay? You have a flavor. I told you, you have Motrin that's in this flavor is kosher. And you have no right to then use the other flavor because... Why are you using that flavor? There's no justification for being soymach on these sekas and bittles, etc., when you can. However, if there's no substitute, so over here, rather than just say if there's no substitute, anybody can take it, we say if there's no substitute, then a cholish emba sakonim could take it. A person who's incapacitated, there's allowed to be already shun derabanan. Okay, so if the is that in there might be maimed the food, so that's okay, it's only this derabanan. For that is derabanan, the cholish emba sakonim could do that. Okay, a cholish shein basakana who's in a certain amount of he's incapacitated. That person can be simach and say the flavors are probably not kosher, are probably not treif. The cholish shein basakana can eat a gel cap. It's only the siddur abonin because he's eating shlekei derech achila. So when if there's a substitute, he should use a substitute. If there's not, the cholish shein basakana could do these things. But the regular person who just wants to have shinier hair, he's not allowed to do that. Okay, because you want to have some kind of comfort doesn't give you a right to be some. To ignore these Yisurim Rabbanan or the potential.
What kind of comfort? Like if you have a headache comfort? Or
sometimes it's not clear what the line is between comfort and Cholo Shem B'Sakon. Sometimes it's not clear. A person has a headache. Well, for some people, a headache is nothing. Some people have migraines that they're Cholo Shem B'Sakon.
Well, there's something like Imitrex, right?
I don't know what
that is. You take Imitrex, when you get a slight headache, when you know it's going to become big.
Okay.
So how do you know that if you take... I don't take it because I don't believe it works.
Okay.
But let's say a gel cap. Okay. You would need to take it because you know it's gonna rush in and it'll heal your headache that right now at 3 o'clock is a slight headache, but you know that at 6 o'clock you're gonna have this terrible headache.
So if you can predict, reasonably predict
that what you have will be a Chayla Shein B'Sakana. You don't have to wait till you're a Chayla Shein B'Sakana to treat it. You can treat it with the rules of a Chayla Shein B'Sakana already right now. So right now at 10:15, you say, I have this level that right now it's just a mechus. For most people, no, they're just, I'm not comfortable. But all I know that by 11, I'm going to be out of business. I'm allowed to already treat it as if I'm a Chayla Shein B'Sakana. Okay? But the lines are not always so clear. You know what I mean? You know, brushing your teeth, it's just a mechus. You just want to be comfortable, right? It just says, but, and someone with the flu, in many cases, the chayla shein b'sakana. But there are in-betweens, the things that are not so clear, where the guy fits in. Where do you fit in between, and you have to ask the shayla. You have to understand, get some feel for, this is how I feel, and am I a chayla shein b'sakana, or am I just a mechus?
What about putting gel caps aside? What about medicines that are coated and not coated? Coated is just because it has like a flavor, it also goes down easier, okay. And non-coated.
Okay, so most, almost all coated pills, okay, just tablets that are coated with ingredients that are not a kashrus concern. Just with waxes to help go down your throat well. Some of the coatings have flavor to them. It's most common in over-the-counter medicines where they're competing for your business. In other words, my brand versus your brand, I'm competing, and then the coating, there may be a flavored coating. There are coatings like that.
It might have a little flavor.
So I don't know about that specific one. They have a some of those coatings have a flavor to them. You would usually be able to tell. Usually by reading the ingredient panel, you could tell if the coating has a flavor or not. And if it has a flavor, that flavor is considered edible. Okay, that's not even shlok kedar achil. That's edible. It's like swallowing a sucking candy. So you could only take that, and you'd only be allowed to take that if you were chalosh im basakon. I mean, what's strange about it is a flavor. Flavor is maybe usher, maybe mutter, and some people tell you, ignore it, don't worry about the flavors, and I would tell you that you should treat, if you're chalosh im basakon, you can assume that the flavor is kosher.
Do you know any specific one over the counter?
I don't. It's not common. Okay? But it happens. It is. There's
something. Add something of flavor to it?
I don't know. So I
aside from a question, how long is that period of, like, I might become, I'm going to have a measurement for brushing your teeth. Brushing your teeth is for comfort. If you don't wash your teeth for 3 weeks, you're going to have an infection in your mouth. So how long is that period? Like, oh, I know something's coming, but I can do something now. Okay. Is it 3 hours or it could be 5 days?
Okay. You'll start buying it. Okay. And our last group, turn to the next page. Our last group, we're way over time, I'm sorry. We'll turn to our next page, is some, we're in our fourth example of ingredients. Okay, we did innocuous and trivial and minor, and now we have serious. And of course, you know what I'm going to say for serious. Okay, it has glycerin in it. Okay, it's a liquid that has glycerin in it. It has fish oil in it. Okay, it has grape juice in it. Not grape flavor. Okay, grape juice. Okay, so grape juice is, it's trafe. I mean, you know good and well that it's trafe, because there is kosher grape juice. Not to say there, and they can make kosher grape juice in medicine, but if it doesn't have ashkach on it, it's trafe grape juice. Okay, so they have trafe grape juice. So that's a plain old isidrabanan to eat this thing. Okay, we're eating the glycerin. This is the rice to eat this thing. Okay, and they're not bottled, there's no bittles, there's no any of these things. So you want to take this thing that has a very serious, serious level. The ingredients pose a serious concern to it. And so, I forgot to mention, I should have mentioned this way back before, that the liquid medicines generally are viewed as being keder chachila. They're considered to eat that thing because it's in a way that's flavorful and tastes fine. Okay, chewables, there are different grades of chewables. Some are shlok kederach and some are not. It depends on a different thing. They might be considered shlok kederach chachila. So for the ones with a serious concern, we say like this. If this is a substitute, obviously you can't use it. Okay, like in all of our other cases, if there was a kosher substitute, you can't use it. What happens if there was no substitute? Okay, so now we have to look at our next thing, which is, how do you take this medicine? How do you take this, we have an example, we have cough medicine. It's liquid, it's got glycerin in it, which might be trafe. It's a serious concern. And in this case, actually, there is a substitute. Okay, Triminic brands have an OU on them. Okay, so for some sicknesses, you have cough syrups that will cover you. But you have a different one, and Triminic is not getting it for you. Okay.
Some say that certain brands, even if it has, actually doesn't mean it's good enough.
You're saying it's not a substitute because medicinally it's not going to do the
trick.
Fine, then that's not a substitute. I'm talking about the Triminic, which is in the store, in some cases does the same thing as Robitussin does. Okay, so it does the same thing. So then why wouldn't you take that? It has Ashkach on it. But now we have no substitute. So now how are you taking the medicine? So our first choice here is, it's inedible. I'm taking it in a pill form. Okay, so it may have had trafe ingredients in there, but I'm taking it in a pill form. I'm off the hook. Okay, I can do it. I can take it. Anybody can take that. Turn to page 6. It has serious ingredients. I have no substitute. And I take it in an edible form. Okay? I take it in an edible form, like these liquid medicine. I'm taking it in a pure edible form. I'm taking Gatorade. Okay? It has ingredients in that might be trafe. And I'm taking it to just drinking it, just whatever. So if there's a potential for a sakana, I'm taking it because there's a possibility for a sakana, like our example of our amoxicillin. The person's taking it for an infection. So they're taking the liquid, they look at the ingredients, and they see that there's glycerin in their amoxicillin. Okay? And the kid is 2 years old. So they can't take a pill. There is no possible substitute for the child. So now, if they're taking it for an infection, and I have talked this over with pediatricians, gone through like every different infection, everything that they treat with these antibiotics, and almost every one of them has the potential of a sakana. Okay, if it goes untreated long enough, it has the potential for a sakana. Each one of them has what it could come to. So then, I say, it has the potential for a sakana, I'm allowed to take it. Okay, what happens if it's not? If I'm taking it for an ingrown toenail. Okay, and nothing's going to happen, it'll just be an ingrown toenail, it'll just be like that. But there's no sakana for it. Then, I'm doing it in an edible form, I'm not allowed to take it. Okay. If I'm doing the shloike derech achila, okay? If I did a shloike derech achila, then if I'm a cholei shem basakana, I could take it. If I'm not a cholei shem basakana, I can't take it. So, for example, I will not say this outright, but many cases the taking chewable pills are considered shloike derech achila. They fall into this middle stage.
Meltaways?
No, not meltaways. The chewables are often considered shloike derech achila. In which case, why is it shloike derech achila? Because there's a din that says if you have a food, that the only people who would eat it would be a chayla. A regular person would never think of eating such a food.
No, it doesn't taste like a candy. It tastes.
Right. I said there are different levels of chewables. Some of them, I didn't say all of them. Some of them are considered like the liquids, by and large, are considered plain old edible. But the chewables, depending on how tasty they are, could be shlokei derech achila. For chayla shem basakana would be allowed to take it. But let's say here's an example: the meltaways. Okay, those are things that are, they taste fine. They're not, you put them in your mouth, they just dissolve not exactly, but sort of like a sucking candy. Okay, they dissolve. Those are considered eating kederach achila. So now if I'm taking a melt-away, to freshen my breath. Okay, I'm taking Listerine, which I don't know if you've heard, it's losing its texture soon. So I'm taking Listerine after July 1st. I'm taking a Listerine, and I put it throughout that melt. That's like eating some kederach achila for mechut. I'm not allowed to do that.
Strips.
Okay? The strips, yeah. And the same thing comes in cough medicine. You get the same thing in the cough medicine to do the same thing. Now, in the cough medicine, if the person who's taking it is a chol shem basakana, and the isurim, now we have to look at the ingredients. Now, are the ingredients, depending on the level of sensitivity, I might or might not be allowed to do. That's the point of the chart, is to try to help you navigate your way through that. Okay? But at least from my perspective, the chart starts with looking at ingredients, and I understand that you're at a disadvantage. Maybe that's why I start the chart that way, because for me that's easier to look at the ingredients. But there are people who could help you. When I said to you, you probably have only 10 medicines in your cabinet, because lots of the pills you're going to be able to take anyhow. But you're going to look in your pantry, in your medicine cabinet, and say, these 10 are the ones that I potentially have a child to. I know kids take amoxicillin, they take Motrin, they take cough medicine. I have these 10 medicines in there. Those, it's worth it to go through with somebody. Say, here's my ingredients. Tell me which ones fall into which category. Okay? It's not really that complicated. And there are people around who could help with that. Okay. Any more questions?
Meltaways are not only...
Excuse me?
Meltaways are for kids that are not infants and not adults. They're like in between.
So many of those kids are young enough...
Can't take pills.
Are young enough to be considered... Many of them are considered, they're non-functional, even from a smaller sickness, and they're cholosh emba sakon. So, unless the isser is very serious, they would be allowed to take it. It depends what the ingredients are now. You have to notice, if there's, what's in there to...
This is Tylenol meltaways.
So in Tylenol meltaways, I will look back on my phone in a second to tell you if there's one that is kosher. Okay, but if not, then we have to look at the possibility of the ingredients and possibility of the substitutes. We'll look at it. We'll talk about that. That's an example of something that's worth talking about.
Listerine mouthwash is not kosher after
killing? No, Listerine.
The strips.
Right. The mouthwash was never had hashgacha on it. Okay. I don't remember what the ingredient.
You don't drink the mouthwash.
So there's an issur d'rabbanan to put treif into your mouth and spit it out. Even if you don't swallow.
Some of them have glycerin
now? Some of them have glycerin, and most of them have alcohol. I don't remember the details. It's an issur d'rabbanan to take treif into your mouth and spit it out. It's only issur d'raisa if you swallow it, but it's an issur d'rabbanan to take...
So you think the three of the asher is an issur d'rabbanan?
Is potentially... But no, okay. Let's take that back. If I go to my Chinese neighbor and I take some of their animal fat and swish it around my mouth and spit it out, that's an issur d'rabbanan. Okay? Whether, if I do that to Listerine, whether that is, that depends on the ingredients. We have to see the ingredients and decide whether, if it is or not. It's potentially an issur d'rabbanan because of swishing around this trait thing.
Okay.
What did you say? So now, after time. I time out is because we're now moving into a different question, okay, which is, I didn't describe to you how people decide whether something is or is not edible. There are differences, there's many different shittas as to how you view something as edible or not edible. So whether cough medicine is or is not edible is a very, I'm sorry, not cough medicine. Mouthwash, whether the mouthwash is or is not edible is a very big difference of opinion. Okay, I watched, they didn't do it at the same time, but separately, two Paiskim both put mouthwash into their mouth. One of them put scope in and said that this stuff is not edible. Okay, not a question, it's not edible. And I've heard that from plenty of people on that side of Kib, and others who said even Listerine, I don't mean the fancier new ones, I'm talking about the good old-fashioned, horrible stuff, even that stuff is considered edible. Okay, so it goes to such an extreme. I said, some said even that's edible, and some said even scope is not edible. Okay, no, so there's a full range, and there's all in between, if you want to. You know? So that's there's many different opinions of that. I won't tell you what to do, you'll ask him about what he wants you to do, whether he does or not consider it edible. If it's not edible, so then what do we have? Let's think for a second. Let's say it even had horrible ingredients, but it was not edible. It's okay. You could do that.
We were putting it in your mouth, though, exactly.
What? But if it's considered not edible, then you're off the hook. You're allowed to do whatever you want to. Right. If it's inedible. So you need an answer to that question is, should I treat this as edible or not edible? That's a question for you to ask. Now, there are substitutes. There are substitutes. There are kosher ones. Maybe not everybody here will consider that a substitute. Okay, there are kosher ones that are...
Horrible. That still doesn't work,
but... I'm not answering that question, whether you should or shouldn't consider it a substitute, whether it is or is not a substitute, but in the end, then you're going to be stuck with the question, is it edible or is it not edible?
Right, if it is edible, the substitute won't help. In other words, if there's no substitute available, who cares?
Right. If it's edible, right. the fact that there's no substitute, too bad on you. Right. If it's considered inedible, then if there's no substitute, then you can take it, then you're okay. So that's a judgment call for each, for if most comes up with mouthwash and toothpaste, whether you consider them edible or not edible. If you consider them edible, I'll throw them on if we're mentioning toothpaste. We're like way over time. But while we're mentioning toothpaste, is that if you consider toothpaste inedible, you could do what you want. And if you consider it edible, then you look for a kosher one. It's worth knowing, I'm sure this is on purpose, that both Crest and Colgate, the two biggest brands, each one of them makes one variation of their toothpaste without glycerin in it.
They're hard to find.
They are, but... you could come to my house if you want to. They make each one of them. Each one of them makes one variety that has no glycerin, and I'm sure that it's on purpose. I'm saying it's not a coincidence. I'm sure they're making it for people, not African kosher people, but other people who just don't want glycerin because of the concerns of animal products, and that each one of them makes one variation that has no glycerin in it. Okay, so now if you
look at the ingredients.
Yeah, you'll see. Glycerin will be in either glycerin or glycerol. It'll be one of the first five ingredients. Okay, it's usually in the first four ingredients. And you can, so when you think about that, by choosing the one that doesn't have the glycerin, okay, you're avoiding by far, but way by far, any of the most serious concerns. Anything else in there pales in concern to that. So if you say it's not edible and you're really beshita that it's not edible, so then you don't care. If you think it is edible or you think it's possibly edible, then you could just as well buy this one. And again, I know that one kid likes it with sparkles and one guy wants to get rid of his tartar, but basically, it's going to do the same for your teeth. Basically, this toothpaste and that toothpaste. I'm not the dentist, but basically, toothpaste is toothpaste. But so if you have a choice, here you have a choice of each of the major brands sells varieties that have no glycerin in them. So that's a...
Something topical, is there ever an issue?
Topical, you mean like they just put on your skin? No, first of all, they're not considered edible, firstly. And second is that there's almost all things that are not kosher, you're allowed to rub into your skin. You're not, certain things that are not kosher, you're not allowed to actually rub into your skin, but they're not so common. You know, so certain things that are, but most treif things you're allowed to rub into your skin. Like for example, if any of you have little kids, little babies that get glycerin suppository. Okay, glycerin suppository is, it's a suppository to help the child go to the bathroom, okay? And it's pure glycerin. Okay? It's so it could be pure animal fat, okay? But it's a suppository, okay? There's nothing you're allowed to have benefit and have a suppository if you're not eating, by any stretch of the imagination, you're allowed to use that. Okay? Even though it's absolute pure animal fat. That's okay, that's, you know.
As far as cough medicine again, so liquid besides triaminic, you shouldn't take because there could be a substitute, if that works.
If there's no substitute. Now, if you don't have a substitute, now you have to look at the ingredients and judge the level of the sickness that the person you're treating.
So there are the kinds of those liquid gels. Mm-hmm. Those are still the question.
Well, if they come in a liquid gel, as usually is in a gel cap, that's an issue. That would be an issue. The rabbanon to have the gel cap. Forget about what's inside.
Yes.
That's for certain cholim, that's okay. For a cholim she'en b'sekhana, that's okay. For a cholim, for just a mechush, it would not be okay. So now you have to judge the sickness that you're dealing with. How sick is the person I'm dealing with? Are they allowed to take it or they're not allowed to take it? That's... So, okay, I have to tell you...
It's unbelievable.